Well, today is a particularly important feast day for me because St. Thomas More is my patron saint. And this morning I want to think with you about Thomas More, but I want to begin by telling you something about St. John Fisher. He was a Cambridge scholar, he was the Bishop of Rochester, and he was the only English bishop who did not cave when Henry VIII wanted to divorce Catherine of Aragon in order to marry Anne Boleyn. Nor would he acknowledge Henry as the supreme head of the Church of England, breaking with Rome and denying that the Pope was the head. Consequently, he was martyred for his loyalty to Rome. A half hour before John Fisher died, he opened up the New Testament and his eyes fell on John's gospel and he read these words: "Eternal life is this, to know you, the only true God, and him whom you have sent, Jesus Christ. I have given you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Do you now, Father, give me glory at your side?" And so this scholar, bishop, closed the book and observed, "There's enough learning in that to last me for the rest of my life." And he was then killed. He was martyred on this date in the year 1535. 2 weeks later, on July the 6th, 1535, St. Thomas More met the same fate. Like Fisher, he would not accept the political and ecclesial manipulation of Henry VIII. And because of this, he was forced to stand trial for high treason. He had been the Chancellor of England. He had been a loyal supporter of Henry VIII in so many ways. And as the proceedings took place in a room which More knew very well, Westminster Hall, because he had for his whole life been a man of the law, here he experienced legal chicanery, bribery, and jury tampering. And More was convicted. But before sentence was passed, he was given the opportunity to speak, and he rose and he said these words: "It is wrong for the king to have assumed authority for himself that was granted by the mouth of Christ our Savior to St. Peter and the bishops of Rome whilst he lived and was personally present here on earth." And then More concluded with these words: "It is therefore insufficient in law to charge any Christian to obey the king." As he stood condemned to death within the confines of Westminster Hall, Thomas More offered this exquisitely eloquent defense of the primacy and the authority of the Bishop of Rome. Many centuries later, on September 17th, 2010, a shy German scholar, who was also the Bishop of Rome, entered this same Westminster Hall. And in the presence of representatives of the British political and judicial establishment, Pope Benedict XVI invoked the name of the man who 5 centuries before had stood condemned in this very place. And these are the words of Father Benedict, as we now call him. "In particular, I recall the figure of St. Thomas More, the great English scholar and statesman, who is admired by believers and non-believers alike for the integrity with which he followed his conscience." How strange and wonderful is the providence of God. More was a lone voice calling out in defense of the authority of the Pope. Half a millennium later, the Pope came to this very same room, this very same place, and he vindicated the martyred saint. And how did he do it? By exercising his considerable moral authority. The prime minister was there. 4 living former prime ministers were there, captains of industry and academics. And Pope Benedict asserted something fundamental, and this is what he said. This was the heart of his speech that day. He said that ethical principles discerned through religious and philosophical forms of reasoning must provide the basis for all democratic deliberation and cannot themselves be subject to that deliberation. In other words, it is religious principles, philosophical principles, that are the foundation not only of morality, says the Pope, but of democracy. And he insisted in his quiet way that the bracketing or questioning of those moral absolutes leads any government on a short road to chaos. And this is why, as the Bishop of Rome said 6 years ago, aggression toward religion that is sadly apparent in the West today is not only a violation of basic human rights, but also a threat to the integrity of the democratic experiment. Thomas More was condemned in Westminster Hall for defending the authority of the Pope. In that same place, a quietly authoritative Bishop of Rome subtly rose in More's defense. Beloved, we live at a time where we need to be inspired by the courage and the example of Saints John Fisher and Thomas More. Increasingly, those who hold to ethical principles that are discerned through religious and philosophical forms of reasoning are being challenged by the political elites. Nowhere is this more evident in Canada today than in relation to euthanasia and doctor-assisted suicide. In Canada, these forms of murder and suicide have been given the comforting acronym MAID, Medical Assistance in Dying. And just as in the time of Henry VIII, when the whole land had come to support his immorality, with the exception of the few, like John Fisher and Thomas More, so too in Canada today, in relation to another issue of fundamental ethical significance, the same thing is happening. May we today have the courage to be inspired by the witness of these men and take to heart the wisdom of Father Benedict, so that we can, with St. Thomas More and John Fisher, state that while we are loyal Canadians, we need to be first and foremost true to God. For do you know what St. Thomas More's last words were before he was executed? I die the king's good servant and God's first. St. John Fisher, St. Thomas More, pray for us.